The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
Thanks for being with us today. I'm indeed your host, John Age. Thanks for being with us today. This is the first show after the election. This is coming to you on Wednesday. I'm not going to give you my full take on all that jazz in this show. I'm just going to try to keep this one to our guests. That being said, me and our guests are going to talk about the election in just a mere matter of moments. But you can probably surmise the way I'm feeling right about now. Disgust, outrage, anger, the usual suspect emotions when you're getting your nose rubbed into it by communist scum perpetually. We'll just leave it right about there for now. I assure you I'll be putting out a information breakdown edition where I'll discuss fully my emotions and the facts and the news and drips and drabs from all points of the globe on the fall of the Republic. Or you could just call it the post-election wrap-up. So we'll be talking about that later this evening. Please don't forget, check out AnomicAge.com. Share that link, friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. I'm sure until the Biden regime fully takes over, my site will be up, and my social media may or may not be. We'll see. But AnomicAge.com will be the place to find me for right about now. I highly suggest signing up for the newsletter. It's at the bottom right of the page. And if you are so inclined, this thing ain't free for me, folks. So if you love the content, you like the guests, hey, you even like the information breakdown segments that are these short little spiffy 20 minutes or less diatribes about how bad things really are. Even if you just like those, because you can't possibly use the RAM to watch the full episodes, that's fine. I appreciate that, and I highly suggest, even if you just like that, AnomicAge.com is where you can find PayPal.me/AnomicAge and Patreon.com/AnomicAge2. You can make it a regular thing or just a one-time donation, but if you are so inclined, drop some tips in the tip jar. There's a lot of stuff we need and a lot of improvements we need to be making, but no es posible. Necesitamos más dinero. ¿Así? Por supuesto. Anyway, that being said, all the past guests will be there as well as today's guests also. AnomicAge.com. So, without any further ado, hold on to your hats. We got our special guest coming right up in a moment. Kevin Thompson will be with us today, so stick around. It's my pleasure to welcome Mr. Kevin Thompson into the Anomic Age today. Kevin is a 20-year veteran of law enforcement and corrections with 3 additional years in counter-narcotics. He also serves as a 22-year military veteran, beginning his career in the intelligence community, now serving in the National Guard as an MP instructor. Kevin has had the opportunity to take part in military programs researching remote viewing, among other things. In his off hours, Kevin serves as the lead paranormal investigator for Madison County Paranormal Research Society and co-founder of the Huntsville Ghost Walk. He is often sought out for his knowledge of things paranormal, conspiracy, and his technical knowledge of paranormal gadgetry. Often joking, he is on the low side of high tech. He is also the host of the radio show Down the Rabbit Hole, as well as Hebrews Cafe, and a contributing writer for the True Crime Case Files magazine. Kevin, I'm so excited to talk to you.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning. Excited to be here.
That's a pleasure. When we were talking a couple weeks ago and setting this date up, I kind of knew it was going to be a big thing with the election, but it's even more insane. So.
Oh, my God. I mean, here it is. We're, what, already a day into it? We still don't know who our president's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, totally insane. I mean, I probably look a little weathered. I was up to at least 2:30. Finally went to bed about 3, kind of just like last time, fingers crossed, prayers, thinking, all right, I'm not going to go to bed until we know something. And finally I was thinking, well, I guess we're not going to know anything, so I better get some sleep and get ready for the next day.
Absolutely. I was there with you, John. I was there with you until finally the Xanax kicked in. So, I mean, okay, let's start with this, John. Since we're talking about the election, this really took me by surprise. Since when you're counting votes and we have a presidential election, especially one with this much at stake, when do we shut down and everybody go home at 10:30?
Only in Philadelphia, I guess. I don't know what the heck's going on. They're just like, oh, it's getting late. I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, like, I'm a little tired. So, see you guys tomorrow. No. Do they not know what shift work is?
And in Atlanta, they're blaming some of this mess on a water main or some sort of water problem. It's like, yeah, that's coincidental, I mean, I'm sure. Hey,
as my introduction says, I am into conspiracy. All these Trump votes are sitting in a room and suddenly a water pipe breaks over the top. Do you really think that they're – now, they like to call it voter suppression. We like to call it voter fraud. Is this beginning to sound a little bit like voter fraud?
I do believe so. What else can it be?
Have you seen the video yet where the man is showing? He's showing a pre-filled out ballot that he received.
I haven't seen that one.
He had to do was sign his name and send it in. Everything was marked straight party voting Democrat.
Jeez. You know,
and with this mail-in voting, you know, they were pushing it. They were pushing it so hard with the mail-in voting. Where are those votes? If you already have those votes and you already have them counted, you already know what that tally is going to be, why do we need to shut down at 10:30 and count them tomorrow? I really hope that this is not a foreshadowing of how efficient our government is going to operate in the next 4 years. Should, God forbid, from my mouth to God's ears, should Biden win?
Yeah, and I was already seeing, I think it was Wisconsin, where they had more voters voting than are registered to vote. And then in our state, I guess they just quit voting here in North Carolina. We've been stuck at 95% for about 12 hours now. They just called it a day at 10 o'clock last night, too, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is unheard of, John. Unheard of. I mean, okay, I'm still in law enforcement, hoping to retire here in the next couple of years. Could you imagine if I suddenly shut down the jail at 10:30, said, hey, sorry, you know, my guys are tired. We're ready to go home. You guys are on your own. Feed yourselves, secure yourselves, take care of yourselves, book yourselves in. Here's some paper, some pens. Do the right thing. We still need that government oversight. It's called shift work. Factories have done it for years, John.
That's just what we do.
I really, really can't wrap my head around that. I was sitting, much like you, I was laying in bed, glued to Fox, had my cell phone right here. And as they're talking about these states called in, I'm calculating, okay, this many electoral votes. Then said they're like, well, these states shut down because it's 10:30. Wow.
Unprecedented. Just completely unreal.
But this is also, let's be intellectually honest, this is an unprecedented election. So much at stake. Either in the next couple of days, we're either going to bury George Washington or we're going to bury Karl Marx.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's a good way to put it. I like it.
And this is what concerns me. This is always running in the back of my mind now. Nancy Pelosi herself said, we're just going to continue to count the votes until Joe Biden wins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think that was about? Was that about scaring off voters? Or was that about them doing what we call the predictive programming? That I will continue to introduce an idea to you slowly and subliminally until when it happens, it's not anything unusual for you. Oh, yeah, this was supposed to happen.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. I mean, we've seen this from so many of these communists over the last few weeks where you got Nancy Pelosi and just about everybody. I can't think of Eric Holder was one of them. And, of course, the folks over here on the East Coast saying the same thing. And Governor of California basically just saying, you know, we're not going to accept it. No matter what, we're going to fumigate and we're getting them out of there.
Yeah, fumigate. Yeah, look at the language for the listeners and the watcher. You know, I listen a lot to language. And I also watch a lot of body language. But more specifically, since they know that they're on a lot of radio, they use a lot of language. Fumigate. You hit that word perfect, John. Because that caught my attention rather quickly.
Yeah, I think that was Pelosi.
Exactly. It was Pelosi. She goes, rather, we're going to have to fumigate him out of there. Now, what imagery does that word fumigate bring to your mind?
To me, I'm envisioning a pest bomb going off in somebody's house.
Exactly. That Donald Trump is less than human. That he is some type of infestation that doesn't belong there, much like a roach or a rat. And, you know, we despise him so much that we're going to have to fumigate him out of there. This is all, we call it neurolinguistics, where we speak in a certain manner in order to elicit certain imagery in your mind so that that strikes here.
That's right.
You know, if you said Kevin Thompson is some kind of a roach or, you know, he's an insect or he's a bug, people begin to associate that image with me. And then if you said, well, you know, Kevin Thompson, we're going to have to fumigate him off this show, which means, first of all, I'm resisting, and I'm causing some type of damage. And we're going to have to put him down like a rabid dog or an animal or an insect. You know, they use a lot of language to promote pictures in your mind because you think in pictures. You don't think in words.
That's right. It's the same sort of propaganda that we've seen so many times before. I mean, most notably probably in everyone's mind is some of the Nazi propaganda and imagery that was used during the Third Reich. But you can draw those same parallels to pretty much any sort of war or conflict. Mm-hmm. They do the same sort of thing where they try to elicit that visceral response to immediately polarize the people. They're like, oh, we're either against them or we're for them. And we want to paint whatever the enemy is as the most vile, non-human, fill in the blank that you want to. And that's exactly what they're doing now.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you bring up a really good illustration. Let's look back. Let's go back to 1940s Berlin. The Nazi propaganda, the pamphlets that they put out, what made it okay in the people's mind to kill not just 3 million Jews, and I'm speaking as a Jew myself, but 6 million people total? What made that okay? In the average person's mind, if we said, well, we're just going to go out and we're going to slaughter an entire state here in the United States, that would be an abhorrent idea. People would be repulsed by that idea. But what they did is they began to create an imagery. First in words, you know, these Jews are less than human, they're an infestation, you know, they're killing children and drinking their blood. They began to create these pictures in their mind. But if you began to look at the pamphlets, they created them in freakish ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they illustrated the Jewish people in freakish ways, the gypsies, the homosexuals, the political dissidents. And they would paint them in just bizarre ways so that when people saw them, they're like, well, this is crazy. This is, but they're not even human. That's the point, John.
That's it.
Dehumanize so that it will be okay to either execute them or, you know, treat them in bad ways. You know, they made it okay with illustrations and words and creating pictures in people's mind. And that's what they have done to Donald Trump for the last 3.5, almost 4 years.
Yeah, and we've seen the same thing in our media, much like the propaganda films and the propaganda pamphlets and magazines in Nazi Germany. We're seeing the same things here where we're seeing all the magazine covers, all the sitcoms, the movies, whatever you want to throw under that bus. It's the same sort of ideology where it's all those scary patriots, and they always point to the, the Charlottesville tiki torches morons, which to me was probably just controlled opposition at the very best. I mean, it looks very reminiscent of a Reichstag fire to me, but it's the same sort of thing. So you get that parallel where you see all the people, oh, well, we don't want to be associated with them. Oh, well, they support Trump. They must be somehow white supremacists. They must be somehow non-believer in vaccines, and they must eat organic food. Oh, they're scary folks. We better not be associated with them. And oh, they're not even human. They're so vile and terrible. We got to get rid of these people. That's kind of the same sort of thing.
The application of labels. Here's the thing about labels, though. They overplay their hand, John. If I sat here and continuously beat my table and said, John is a white supremacist, he's a racist, you've got red books behind you, you're a racist, you know, you're speaking into a microphone, so therefore you're racist because you're dog whistling, we're doing this because we're racist. After a while, does that not lose its value?
Mm-hmm.
If I continue to say you're racist and people can watch your show, you know, a nomic age, they can watch that show and they can see that, well, nothing he's saying so far is racist. I don't see it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I continue to pound my table saying John Age is racist. That begins to lose its value. And that's something that they don't understand. I don't think they understand because they continuously play that card. So Donald Trump is racist, even though, let's go back before he was president, everybody loved him. Everybody loved Donald. They wanted to be Donald Trump. He was the billionaire playboy. And he's not much different now. When did that happen? You can see the attack. First of all, he come out of way out of left field. He was not an establishment politician. He was the rich billionaire playboy that everybody wanted to be. So why not? And he even said with his own words, Biden, it's because of you and Obama that I even ran.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a politician. He's a businessman. This country needed at this point to be run like a business. Quit giving everything away. Quit taking it up the kazoo. You know, stop. We need to be run like a business. And here a businessman runs, wins. Nobody expected it. You had the deep state that already had Hillary in the hopper. And oh my goodness, that's a whole other discussion right there. So what can we do? We didn't expect this. Let's go back to the old playbook. Racist. He's a racist. Oh my gosh, John, aren't you sick of hearing that yet?
I am. I mean, it's just that old divide and conquer thing over and over again. It's just funny. I was jokingly, I think I said this on a previous show, where I've gotten to the point over the last few years where I just call everything racist. And the folks around me kind of know my humor, so they get it. But sometimes I'll slip up and say that, you know, the garage or getting something fixed out at a store, and people kind of look at me funny. And I'm like, yeah, I got a nail in my tire. It's just it's racism, I tell you, you know. They kind of look at me funny, but then I have to remember, oh, nobody gets that humor but me, because I guess other people are still buying the narrative or something. But I was joking on a show probably a couple weeks ago. I said, now I'm just going to start saying Russian collusion. So no matter what it is, it'll be Russian collusion. Oh, man, I got something on my shirt. Ah, this Russian collusion, I tell you, it's everywhere.
Man, I see that all the time in the jail. Okay, first of all, whenever they get booked in, you know, we're patting them down, and we have to, you know, unfortunately, we have to do strip search. Why is that? Well, because it's policy. You know, you may have weapons, narcotics, anything on you. Do you have anything on you that I need to be concerned about? You're racist.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't bring you here.
Yeah.
You came to me.
I don't know what you got on you. I'm not taking any chances. Somebody having a blade or something somewhere.
Yeah, no, you're racist. Okay, well, I'm going to put you back here in the unit, in the reception unit. Well, y'all are racist. Well, what? Where is this coming from? Okay, here's your meal tray. Well, why didn't I get two pieces of bread? Because that's what everybody's getting. No, that's because you're racist. I'm done, man.
Oh,
I am so
terrible.
Done with the racist label.
Yeah, I think to a certain degree it just doesn't compute anymore with people that are awake to this nonsense. They're like, oh, I see it. It's just divisive, divide and conquer propaganda again. Okay, whatever. You know, like that's kind of where I'm at now. Okay, call me whatever you want. That's great. I'm just going to move on.
and that's where I think a majority of the American people are, or at least the Caucasians. Which brings up another point, John. Why can't all lives matter?
Because it's racist. I mean, I don't know. That's just so beyond the pale of stupid. I can't even get that, man. I don't know. Yeah, you've seen, like, I think it was a school teacher was fired a couple, probably weeks back, maybe a month now, for the same thing. Like, she posted something on her own private thing that said all lives matter. Oh, no. You didn't say all lives matter, did you?
Do you think, now this is me, call me crazy, this is the conspiratorial thing, that again, if I repeat something long enough, it becomes the truth,
mm-hmm.
at least for a while, at least to serve an end. Do you think that it's coming to the point to where they don't want other lives to matter? Perhaps it's part of that dehumanization process of other, well, Hillary said it herself, deplorables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't agree with me, your life doesn't matter. You're a racist. Only these lives matter. But it doesn't seem to matter any other time, whenever it's black on black crime or, you know, brown on black crime. Those things don't get reported. It's only law enforcement or white on black crime. So black lives matter. I get it. I agree to a point, but I think everybody should matter.
That's
you
it.
Shouldn't just go out willy-nilly and kill anybody.
Oh, I think that's exactly what's going on. I think it's definitely part of the reconstruction of the narrative, so to speak, where if you look at the news, even for the last 6 months, heck, several years now, it's been they control the narrative, so they control reality. So it's kind of they have defined reality. You just keep telling people and gaslighting people. And every news broadcast, every celebrity or whatever, if everybody says the sky is green, eventually you're just going to start looking around and going, well, man, my eyes must be wrong because I think it's blue. But I mean, the mainstream media, the celebrities, the sports stars, MSM, all they keep saying is the sky is green, the sky is green. So at some point, people just begin to question reality, even though it's reality. They start thinking, well, maybe I'm screwy because the
right.
sky looks blue. And I think that's kind of what they're banking on with the whole Biden thing, especially in the last few weeks. Just incontrovertible proof of not one, but now numerous. I think the DEA had another laptop from Hunter. The same sort of stuff.
Yes.
But everybody's, hey, we're just not reporting it. I don't know what you're talking about, laptops with pedophilia and torture. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the same policy that we follow in law enforcement. If you don't report it, it didn't happen. Yeah. Especially, John, with insulated groups such as our Congress people. For months, our cities were on fire. For months, we had Antifa, BLM running the streets, shutting down businesses, assaulting people. My God, they created their own state, which yeah. worked out great for them, didn't it? The autonomous zone, not so autonomous. Cut off their water, cut off their power, or cut off their police protection and see how long you last. You want to be autonomous? Be autonomous. That worked out great. However, what happened when Jerry Nadler was confronted with this? Oh, that's a myth. That doesn't exist. So not only are they already sectioned off from society, they are so convinced of the narrative that to them, they really don't see it. Nancy Pelosi has been in Congress for 30 some odd years. Look at her district, yet she's able to tell you how you should live. So you're absolutely right. They control the media. The media controls the narrative and begins to tell people what to think, what to believe, because we control the flow of information. Information is power. And which is why they are going to incredible lengths to shut off any alternative media. We will tell you what to think. In fact, oh goodness, John, you will remember this. What reporter on a mainstream network said, "You can't see this, but it's okay for us to see this because we're journalists and we will report it to you."
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. I can't remember exactly what it was about, but he's like, "You can't have this, but we can have this, and we will report it to you."
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, but the listeners and the watchers will remember what we're talking about. But how are we even going to know here in a day or two who the president was? How do we know Trump even won? How do we know the Clintons won until the media tells you, "Hey, here he is, the president. Here's how the states all fell out."
Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, we're just all reliant on the Communist News Network and these other propaganda outlets because so much of the off-the-grid, non-mainstream media is getting shut down. I mean, for Pete's sakes, even we're censoring the president's tweets last night, as to be expected. During the election where he was coming out and saying that, hey, there was a stealing of the election going on. Oh, we can't see that tweet anymore. Huh, I wonder what's going on with that. I mean, it's just so beyond belief. I know that your outfit has been censored heavily on Facebook. Mine was taken down off Twitter last year. But, I mean, we're just the tip of the iceberg. If you look at all these other huge, huge outlets, not to downplay what we're doing, but there's all these other folks as well that are just getting taken down off payment platforms, off the social media. I spoke with a gentleman last week whose WordPress site was taken down. I mean, his website was gone. It was like, oh, we're not going to let you post here. So that's the control of the narrative, all right?
Yeah, damn the Constitution, huh? We don't have necessarily a freedom of expression. We don't have freedom of speech. Unless it fits a narrative. Look what they did to Alex Jones. I'll say the name. I'll say it here. You can cut it out in post-production.
I will not.
But look at what they did to him. And if you give Alex enough time, everything he says comes true. You know, next year's news today. But no, oh my God, we can't have him talking because we don't want people looking in this direction, you know, smoke and mirrors. Don't look over here while I do the magic over here. Mm-hmm. And that's what Alex was doing, was exposing the magic. And, oh, my God, we can't have that. They're doing it right and left. I'm just a Joe Schmo. But how many times have you seen my Facebook page taken down? Sometimes, John, I didn't even have
three.
A post. I didn't even have a post. I put a picture of a kitten on there. Literally, go back and look. I literally put a picture of a kitten and said, how long will it take to take this down? And it was, what, 20-some-odd hours?
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. So they really want to control the narrative. I was so proud of Ted Cruz when he went after Dorsey last week. Who the hell voted you into office that you can control the flow of information? You can control what Americans see, what they report as news. Who voted you in? And I think that's what pisses us off the most is we didn't vote these people in. I didn't vote in any network head. I didn't vote Cooper, Anderson Cooper in. I didn't vote Don Lemon in. I didn't vote for Rachel Maddow. I didn't vote them in. Who are they to tell me what to think? I'm sorry.
That's the truth, man. I love it. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. And I'll go out there, too, and say Alex Jones's name. Of course, he's highly influential to, I would say, everybody that does what we do. And now, thankfully, a lot more people as well, because he's getting that word out there. I mean, people can quibble and disagree over this point or that point or whatnot. I don't even care about that. I'm saying the man's got his right to free speech. They've taken down his payment platforms, taken down large segments of his sites here and there. And he's just one. You got the same thing with Milo Yiannopoulos, Laura Loomer, Gavin McGinnis, Joe Biggs, the Proud Boys, all this stuff. I mean, we're not alone in this whole thing. We're just sadly one ripple upon many that's now about a wave in the pond of people that are just gone. I was talking to my wife about this the other day, and I was trying to break it down. I was like, yo, like, you don't get it. Like, they're taking away the bank. Like, the bank's just calling up and saying, we're closing out your account. And yeah, you can go to another bank and so forth and so on. But, you know, when you got bills to pay and you're going, hey, and then they just closed my bank account. All right, I got to pay the mortgage. I got to pay for some gas. I got to pay the water bill, the power bill. So you start looking around going, all right, now I got to go run to get into another bank so I can just pay this stinking bill so I don't end up losing my car, my house, and having a water cut off. I mean, it sounds enough until you start doing it. And then you realize how much of a not easy ordeal this really is. And this isn't just a one-off thing. I mean, this is all these people over and over again. Now they're pretty much limited to basically their own platform. And I think some of them are on Parler as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's run into different platforms because you've got the big ones. You've got Twitter, you've got Facebook. Obviously those are the two huge ones. Snapchat. I was interested to see what Trump did with TikTok. I mean, wow, that came out of the blue, but probably a smart move. You know, you want to talk about collusion. What about Chinese collusion?
Yeah.
We made this point. Speaking of collusion, this is a side note. Let me chase this rabbit hole. Pardon the pun. I am the host after all. But why is it okay to blame Russia for so many things, but not okay to blame China? Do you think, and I want to get you to weigh in on this, John, do you think it's because we have so heavily invested industry and so much money into China, gave them pretty much all of our industry, but we did not invest all of that into Russia? Now, albeit we may be, you know, geopolitical enemies to some extent, but we have invested so much into China, you cannot go to Walmart, pull a toaster off the shelf, flip it over, and it says made in Russia. But it will say made in China. We don't want to piss off our industry, which Trump has done when he put these tariffs and everything on China. So whenever it comes to creating a narrative, we can say Russia, Russia, Russia. But you won't say anything about China because they still have a great foothold into our industry.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. It's spot on. I think there's a Voltaire quote that paraphrasingly says, if you want to find out who's controlling you, find out who you can't criticize. And you can't criticize China. And if we look at, I think last year it was Daryl Morey, who was some sort of executive in the Houston Rockets, who just made some very veiled, milquetoast, just basic off-the-cuff comment about China. and he got fired. He's gone. So now he's not even there anymore. And it's because of that money. It's that cui bono, who benefits. Cui bono, the Latin saying who benefits, and it's always monetary. And the Houston Rockets didn't want to upset their apple cart or the NBA's apple cart of getting some of that Chinese money. And I think that's exactly what's going on. But it's on many sides of this, I kind of try to look at things a bit comically just because it's so irritating, dark, and bad. I kind of have to go to a little humor. But when I was talking about this a few weeks back, I was thinking, man, I mean, I didn't see this kind of propaganda in the 80s. You know, at the height of Cold Wardom, where you saw all these movies like Rambo and Rocky, and there was always this sort of mention of Russia, you know, especially Rocky IV, I believe, was the one that resonates with me. But, I mean, we didn't see this kind of propaganda, this anti-Russian sentiment in the height of the Cold War that we're seeing right now. I mean, right now, like I was joking a moment ago, I mean, it's all Russia. It's all Russian collusion. It doesn't matter what it is. It's Russia, I tell you. I mean, hey, Hunter Biden's laptops, he's got all this abuse and pornography with children and all this stuff. That's Russia, I tell you. No, Russia's not even involved in this. It's a different country. No, it's still Russia. Like,
how?
That's impossible. How? That's not possible.
I didn't even know Russia built laptops. But
God, yeah,
they come pre-programmed with child pornography.
It's like, no, he was in China. This is where the stuff's coming from. No, it was Russian collusion. No, it's really not. I'm not lionizing Russia or Putin. I mean, there's bad folks over there. They're not what we want to be necessarily, but in many regards, hey, they're not doing what we're doing.
No, I mean, he's getting payments from the First Lady of Moscow. oh, my God. I mean, that blows me away. And again, barely a mention. Barely mentioned. I mean, it's, you know, it's not even an inconvenience for Biden. You know, I really think that was kind of supposed to be the October surprise. But again, whenever you control the media, you control the narrative. There is no surprise here. It's, if you do hear about it, it's Russia. What the crap? How does that work? Okay, and I will even, okay, let's buy into it just a little bit. Okay, the payments, the business, all of that, okay, fine. We'll call it Russian collusion. But what about the texts, the emails, where Hunter Biden was involved in some rather criminal activity sexually? How is Russia creating that whenever Rudy Giuliani himself got into a very heated argument? Man, I mean, wow. I was so impressed with him. Whenever a reporter's trying to call him out and he tells her, listen, I have the laptop right here. You can come. You can look at it. I'll show you everything that's on it. Then you can apologize to me tomorrow for questioning my integrity. I would be interested, John, to see if she ever did.
Yeah, that'd be a good question. I don't know.
How do you deny that? How is Russia going to create that? I mean, I've known some Russians, and are they high tech? Yes, but nobody's going to be able to deep fake Hunter Biden having sex with children.
It's kind of like the who benefits thing. There's no benefit for Russia doing that. They're pretty self-sufficient over there. They don't really care. They're just kind of looking at all this going, what a bunch of idiots. I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, they're just going, wow.
Yeah, they would benefit more from Biden winning the election and his son continuing to do what he was doing over there in the Ukraine than they would supporting Trump. So why would you cut your own throat? People just need to look at these narratives. They need to look at this fakery and really seriously question. I'm not asking anybody to do a lot except think, who does this really benefit, and why would they blame it on this ethereal monster, Russia? When China really has got the foothold, look at who's building all the supercarriers. Mm-hmm. Look at who is continuously building these floating islands so that they can get a little bit closer. Who's, you know, where did, and I'm going to say it, where did COVID come from? Why are they not on lockdown now? They're all out having these huge parties, no mask, no nothing, no threat. That they don't seem to be affected by it. They did their little show. Why are we not questioning any of that?
That's the million-dollar question. I don't know. I mean, it's the same with the laptop, the Hunter Biden stuff. I think the FBI had this for about a year. Well, again, yeah, it's kind of like the Barry Sotaro thing. I mean, how did Biden even get to be a nominee? The FBI had a laptop for over a year connecting his son to torture, pedophilia, and China. I think that would be a hell of a security risk. So call me crazy. The FBI should have gone forward with this case over a year ago, and somebody should be in jail.
Well, Biden in the beginning was using the logic that, hey, I can't really be held responsible for anything my son does because I didn't know anything about it. Which, okay, let's play that game. You know, my kids will sometimes run around and make mistakes. It doesn't reflect necessarily on me if I don't know about it. But it really does bring into question, first of all, your moral values. Did you not teach your kids better than this? That's basic elementary stuff, John.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I will give him the credit that maybe he didn't know about it until I find out that he did. When Bob Alinsky came out and said, hey, no, you guys got it all wrong. He did know about this, and here's text, here's emails, here's everything proving it. I met with the man. I know he knew about it. Barely a mention. And by then, they're playing this game with the, going back to earlier in our discussion with the mail-in ballots. Hey, it's too late to do anything about it now, John. We've already got 30 million votes cast. So this really isn't worth our time. We got votes being cast. We can't screw Joe up with this. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do buy it, Russia. It's loops within loops within loops, layer upon layer upon layer. Man, they got it covered, man.
Yeah, I mean, just like the Ukraine scandal where we got the live video saying, hey, I'm not going to give you guys this aid unless you back off my son. And what do you know?
Son of a bitch.
Prosecution goes away.
Yeah, what do you know?
Got the email, rather, where he's coming out and talking about the big guy getting his cut of the money. Oh, it's okay. He's running for president. It's no big deal.
Yeah, see, John, we're doing it all wrong, man. We're doing it all wrong.
That's the truth.
We should be wealthy.
Yeah, all we need to do is run for president, and all our mistakes are just gone.
Yeah, all is forgiven. But gee, Merry Christmas! So we got four states up for grabs. What are you predicting?
Sadly, I think my state's one of them. North Carolina, I always say the formerly great state now because they're just proof in the pudding. I guess most of the people here are just gone. I don't know. I was looking at the state last night with the map of red and all these little pockets of blue. I can't help but connect these dots. They're all little pockets where there's big universities. Yeah, it's metropolitan little cities here. You got Raleigh, Durham, Greensboro, and so forth. But that's the big key, folks. It's the cult of academia rearing its ugly head again. So per capita, if you look at all those little blue blobs in North Carolina, that's where all the PhDs are, the really smart people. They would have you believe anyway. So They're doing a lot of indoctrination.
I'm sending my daughter to college. Right now, as we speak, she's applied and been accepted to colleges. We're just waiting for her to graduate. And honestly, I'm scared. I want her to have the big education. I want her to have the degrees. But do I really want her to have the indoctrination? Holy smokes, with the 1619 Project, it pervasive in the schools, teaching them basically anti-American propaganda and everything that your parents know is and has taught you is wrong. We're going to show you the true path, You know, there's 80-something genders. Wow. You know, it's amazing. But going back to the election last night, I was surprised. I was watching. I knew where California was going to go, obviously. But I was surprised by Arizona and New Mexico. Now, originally, I'm from Arizona.
Yeah.
Currently living in Alabama. Why? I just like states that start and end with A. But Arizona was a heavily red state until they started flooding the state. Do you remember they had a word for it, the caravan?
Oh, yeah.
They pushed the caravan through as much as they could until it got shut down. Then they said, well, you don't need an ID to vote. That's voter suppression. How much of that blue in Maricopa County, Pinal County, Pima County, all along the south in your major metropolitan areas, your Phoenixes, your Tucsons, your Sierra Vistas, how much of that do you think was really people voting that shouldn't be voting?
I would say a heck of a lot.
You know, for sure. And this put the nail in it for me. They called Arizona with barely, did they count a vote? Arizona, the polls just shut down. Well, it went to Biden. I was like, whoa, wait, slow your roll, man. Let's count a vote or two first. What happened?
It just seems so obvious to me, probably like yourself, it got kind of late in the night and they saw a Trump landslide, so they just start pumping the brakes on all these states that are possibly up for grabs, like they like to say, oh, it's all up for grabs. Anyway, so I think that's what they were doing. They're like, oh, we better slow it down because we got to get some more ballots in there. We got to find some in a mail truck, or we're going to find some in a trash can. Or, oh, man, all the water messed up these Republican ballots in Atlanta, but whew, good thing we got all these Biden ballots over here. I mean, I think that's exactly what they were doing. So they just sort of pumped the brakes on some of these key states. And I guess we're just going to sit in purgatory or perpetual limbo until the demigods at CNN and the mainstream media decide to tell the plebs who their new ruler is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so disgusting, man. I get so disgusted. I was so angry last night looking at this mess from North Carolina. I mean, we got the whole state going red except for these little blue blobs of communists, and we still managed to keep the communist clown, Roy Cooper, as our governor. I just don't buy it for a minute. I mean, they were calling that early in the night, too. And once again, I'm sitting there looking at the results. I'm like, well, we got supposedly 5% just dangling out there. I don't know, 2 hours, 3 hours. I guess we're never going to get those numbers in, but that's okay. We called it. Roy Cooper's our perpetual communist dictator here in North Carolina, and I guess he'll just keep doing the mask rollout, and we'll stay in whatever we're in now, stage 2.5 of this mask farce, whatever. I mean, it's just so insane. I mean, on the one hand, I'm disgusted that our state is this stupid. But on the other hand, I'm like, well, are we really this stupid? We'll never know because the election results are probably a bunch of baloney in the first place.
Yeah. And, you know, you're a heavy NASCAR state.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Charlotte Motor Speedway right there in the Queen City.
Yeah. Now, here's what I did not understand. This really confused me, John, and maybe you can educate me on this. Virginia, I was watching Fox News last night, and they called Virginia with barely a glance. They're just like, okay, yeah, Biden. And here's why, because we did these models, we did these exit interviews, and we are just that convinced that we're right, that we're really not even going to wait for them to close. Did you see that too, or is it?
Oh, I saw the same thing with Virginia. I think it was later in the night. I was seeing the results of Virginia. It was showing still the blue state, but the numbers said Trump was ahead in Virginia. And I was going, somebody got the wrong graphic up because I don't know what's going on. Once again, it says Trump is ahead of Virginia. You've still got a blue state up there with Biden as the winner. It just doesn't make any sense.
What
or happened? Does it make perfect sense? I don't know.
When we're talking about narratives and gaslighting, I mean, am I I really want to understand this. Am I just being too conspiratorial? Or did they just simply just throw that state away to Biden?
It sure as heck looks like it. That's exactly what it looks like to me. I mean, I'm still flabbergasted that Virginia is a blue state. I mean, that's just completely insane. I think my daughter was still awake at the time, who loves George Washington, and I was kind of like, yeah, George Washington is on a barbecue pit just rolling over in his grave right now at Virginia. Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson would be equally disgusted at what Virginia has become right now. It's just unbelievable.
That blew me away. I have no words for that. I saw that and I was like, what? You know, let's count some votes first. And then they're like, no, we are just that convinced in our models. So even though Fox reported that, CNN reported that, is there who oversees these elections that can actually say, no, that's not the way it is. Let's count the votes. Not just randomly call a state for either candidate. I want it to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they were calling Texas blue for most of the night until sort of the later hours they finally had to say, Texas is actually red. So I think it was the same thing with California. I believe I saw somewhere it was like 7-10 minutes into the California polls closing, they were already, it's blue. Which I didn't expect anything otherwise, but at the same time, like, well, at least give us the illusion that we're counting the votes here. Come on.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So, John, do you really think that this is a fair election? Is this what we have come to expect?
I don't think it's fair in the least. I sadly do think that it's kind of what we have become accustomed to, and I hope to God not what we're going to put up with, but I have very little faith in the American people. I gotta say that. I don't know. I tend to get on a negative jag from time to time, and this is probably no exception. I need more sleep and probably more food, but yeah, I mean, I don't see anything going on. I'm just so disgusted with the lack of action overall that, I mean, I feel like they'll probably fall for anything at this point in the game. They could probably elect a banana, and the American public would just say, okay, we still got to wear a mask, right? Okay. I mean, I just have no words for how pathetic it all seems. Well, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope there's a huge uprising. I hope there's people protesting and mad in the streets and all this stuff, not violently, but at least peacefully saying, yo, we're not going to accept this fraud, but I don't know. I mean, for whatever reason, it seems like every time I really get that dark into it and like we're all just doomed, let's just go to the bunker and prepare, then I end up going out and driving somewhere and I'll see, like yesterday I saw a bunch of kids on the side of the road. These were young, not elementary school, but I'd say middle school tops, maybe ninth grade, I don't even know. But it was two boys on the side of the road and they had a Trump flag on a fishing pole. And they were waving it there on the side of the highway, and that was cool. And then I drove a different way on the way home, and there was like a party out there on one of these major roads here. There was all these Trump people just had a gap there with a megaphone and flags, and just it was beautiful to see. So that kind of gives me a little bit more hope. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I hope it's going to be better than I think it is.
Yeah, but let's end this with a really good note, though. You know, taking it from a physical viewpoint to a spiritual viewpoint, things always look the darkest right before a miracle.
That's the truth.
You know, God wants us to appreciate the miracle of what he is able to do. For example, the Israelites had their backs up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh was rolling down on them for years. The Egyptians had controlled the narrative, told them what to think, told them what to wear, told them what to eat, told them where to work, labored them, put them under a heavy, heavy, heavy yoke. Finally, one man with God's guidance had the ability to speak, and he was an insider. Let's be intellectually honest. Moses was an Egyptian insider. Mm-hmm. He wasn't an Egyptian per se, but he was accepted as one of them. He was seen as Pharaoh's foster son or grandson. So here they go. They leave. They have the guts, finally, the courage to leave Egypt. And Pharaoh's like, oh, hell no. I'm losing all this labor force. I'm losing all of this, and you all are sacking Egypt on the way out. They have their backs to the ocean. Here comes Pharaoh and his chariots coming down the hills at them. And it was at that moment things had to look dark. They had to look bleak. And God provided a miracle. Should Biden, I said all that to say this, should Biden win, the yoke's going to be heavy. They said it is. God can either part the sea for us now, or he can allow us to live just through the plagues and open the sea at the end and say, now will you finally appreciate what I've given you? I've given you a way out, and I've given you all of this. 200 and some odd years ago, John, he gave us a free land of prosperity, opportunity. We had to do the work. We had to put in the prosperity. But along with prosperity comes people that want to control it. And slowly over time, we've allowed them to control it. We've lived under Egypt. We're living right now under Egypt. We're on our way out with Trump. And then if you'll go back to the scriptures, there was a section of those Israelites that said, hey, things were better in Egypt. We want to go back.
I remember that. Yeah.
We were under state control. Yeah, at least Bernie's going to give us free medical care. Let's go back. Well, at least we had Obama phones. Let's go back. Well, they're promising free education if we just come back. When is the miracle going to be? And that's really what we have to keep our eyes on. It can either be in the next couple of days, God's going to perform that miracle, or we may have to live through the plagues, and the miracle will be then. So there is hope. As bleak as it may be right now, there is some hope, John. We always got to keep our eyes on the miracle, on that pillar of fire that God's put in front of us. Hope that didn't sound too
preachy. I love that, man. I love it. Thank you.
Really,
thank you for balancing me out a little bit, because I tend to go on the south side of things. So what's your gut telling you? Do you think it's going to go Biden, or do you think we're going to squeak this one out with some Supreme Court challenges,
man,
or what?
I'm like you, man. I'm afraid right now. But if the four states that are still leaning Trump, that have not been called yet, if they finally are given to Trump like they should be, Trump's going to barely eke this one out. He will eke it out. I know that there's a lot of prophets that are saying that Trump's going to win, but that's that miracle. That's that miracle that I'm waiting for to happen. There's four states, Alaska being one of them, with their three little votes, but that's all it takes sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's big time.
We're still waiting on Georgia, I believe Connecticut, and another state. And if they're saying they're pink right now, but if they're given to Trump, as should be, given the margins, he will eke this one out. Barely, but it will eke out. And this is why they knew this was going to be this tight, which is why they were so against Amy Barrett being pushed in. Because mm-hmm. if it goes to the Supreme Court, which I really don't know why it would actually go to the House. But if it goes to the Supreme Court, that's why they were so concerned about all of that. I don't see why we would have to get the judicial branch involved, except, again, that's the left's go-to. If I can't get you to accept it, I'll just make it law. You know, what do they call that? Legislating from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But we may have to live through some plagues, John.
Unfortunately. I don't know how much time you got left. What do you got on your end?
I got about 8 more minutes.
All right. Well, we'll squeeze this question in for you, because it sort of connects dots into a lot of what you're doing as well. A lot of folks might not see this paranormal connection here, but if you look at the para, that prefix is really just outside of or beside. That's kind of the Greek there. And if you look at where we are right now, I don't know how folks could see anything but para going on in the paranormal with just, I mean, just this open darkness from the communists. Just no holds barred. We're not taking anything but what we want. It's that old do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law sort of mentality, but it's kind of gone mainstream.
Yeah.
Are you seeing or feeling anything along those lines? Because I've heard a lot of other folks say, well, you know, they kind of get this gut feeling of the darkness going on out there. And you know, I've heard accounts of other people actually saying, I don't want to get all metaphysical here, but barriers are being taken down. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing with Halloween as, you know, the ending of one solstice and the beginning of another. That's kind of why it's on that specific date and that time. I'm trying to put this in the right frame here. It's putting down barriers, and a lot of folks have heard tell or said that they're picking up on or even feeling or seeing more things than they once did right about now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, what you're talking about, we call the quickening.
Yes.
It's where there is. I'm going to say, yes, there is. There's an absolute rise in darkness. And a lot of it is self-imposed. People opening doors. People have lost faith in the traditional. They've lost faith in God. They've lost faith in themselves. They've lost faith in any type of leadership. So with the rise of anarchy, they're accepting that. They're accepting those dark powers. If you want to go the Alex Jones route, our government is deeply involved in that type of stuff because it gives them that sense of power and temporary control. So along with all that opening of doors, more is going to come through than you expect. But when I say the quickening, God also speaks of raising warriors who will speak in his name and they will fight on his behalf. And those people that still keep their eyes on God and they still maintain their faith, God is giving us that call to action that you have it in you. It's time to go. Put on your armor and move out. Because along with this rise of darkness is going to be that great host of witnesses spoken of in the prophecies. And God also says that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Where two or more gathered in my name, there shall they be also. Now, let's juxtapose two very graphic images, John. They went so far as a year ago to do a satanic ritual in the house rotunda. You've seen the images. You've seen video. You've seen it. Now, you have many leaders, whether they be local or at the federal level, kneeling, whether it's to BLM or whether it is in memory of somebody who was executed or murdered, it doesn't matter. You're kneeling. Lucifer always presents himself as an angel of light. Doesn't mean he's going to show up with, you know, red skin, big horns, a tail, and hooves. No, he's going to show up possibly as a cause. And if I can subjugate your rulers, that opens much more doors for this darkness. God's not going to have that. He's going to always provide that balance. Here's my warriors over here that will be called in my name. Tell me if I'm getting too preachy.
No, man, you're on it. I love it.
We're going into the paranormal here.
That's exactly what it's all about.
So along with this rise of darkness, you are going to see a rise of activity. You are going to see more cases of not necessarily possession, which is really very rare, but oppression. You felt it. I have felt it.
Oh, yeah.
Lucifer doesn't have to always send a demon into your house. He just sends the news. He just sends this. He sends that. But you will also see For example, and I hope this doesn't sound too propagandish, but
go for it, man.
look at your Trump rallies. They open in prayer. You see Christians, you see nonviolence, you see brotherhood, you see this sense of belonging, this sense of joining. It's not divisive. The first thing that Trump and Melania did when they took the White House is they had clergy come through and bless the White House and push out all that stuff that had been invited in. When have you heard of anything happening in there since? You have not. You have people meeting in churches and praying for the president. You have people meeting in churches and praying and calling God's name. Those are those warriors, those people that you saw out on the street. Were they burning anything or throwing anything at cars? Did they stop you from traveling? Did they force you to subjugate yourself and raise your fist to any name? No, they just blessed you and let you roll on. So, yeah, with this election, I do see a lot of paranormal. I do feel a quickening in my spirit, which is why we created our own radio network where we can speak freely, which is why I'm on your show now, because I know that for the most part, you and I are like-minded, and I appreciate that. And our souls are joining. You know, we're merging in this brotherhood. I think we are fighting the good fight. Alex Jones is still, to me, is a miracle. They have done everything to shut that man down, and they can't. Why? Because of God's provision. There are people out there that listen. There are people out there that understand. They feel that quickening. They feel that call to action. And whether it's with a dollar in a Patreon account or an actual media empire, they're doing what they can. And God is going to give you everything you need to win this battle. You may have to suffer some plagues. You may have to be faced with a burning bush. You may see a golden calf here and there. But ultimately, we're going to win. And that's kind of how I see it, John.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. That's beautiful, man. I mean, exactly kind of connecting dots to that Exodus story there. Folks that don't want to see the paranormal in the Bible must be reading a different book, because that whole Exodus story in and of itself, where they're following a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke and the sea parts. And I mean, come on, nothing but paranormal in the Bible. And I think that's the same existence we're in today. People just don't want to see it.
Yeah. Well, here's another way to look at it. This is, again, we're talking about darkness. Why was it so important before they began all these recent shenanigans? Why was it so important to them to remove God from the public square?
Mm-hmm.
You have to get God out of the picture so people don't know where else to look except to you, because you're the one in power. Whether it's an illusion or not, let's scrape him off the Supreme Court walls. Let's get the Bibles out of the hotels. Don't you dare pray in school. We need you completely reliant on the power we present you, not what's already inside you. God said, let us create man in whose image? Our image. And here we are. We need you to forget who you really are inside and become who we tell you you are.
That's it. That's exactly what their game plan is. Well, this has been so much fun. How can everybody follow you, check out your shows, support what you're doing?
Right now, you can listen to my paranormal show on downtherabbitholeradio.com. If you want a more spiritual perspective, I can be found at hebrewscafe.net. If you want to just email me, that's ssprs@yahoo.com. And it's that easy. Now, when I'm welcome, when I genuflect enough to Facebook, I will have my Facebook page back up. But I don't plan on doing that anytime soon. So it'll be up to them. But the easiest way to get a hold of me is ssprs@yahoo.com.
Well, that sounds beautiful. Anybody who missed any of that, as I always say, it's available at anomagaze.com. So if you missed a portion of this show or what Kevin was saying there at the end, or just want to listen to the whole thing again, check it out at AnomicGaze.com. We'll have today's episode, the video, the audio, all the past guests, the PayPal links, the Patreon links. It's all there at AnomicGaze.com. Remember, you cannot do everything, but you can do something. I realize we're in very perilous times here, and I'm sure folks out there are feeling much like me, if not worse. So we'll get through it.
We will.
So you can't do everything, but you can do something. Be safe out there, and I will see you sooner than later in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm going to go to the next one.